Blog Talk Radio. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Kay and Gus Show. This is Ayanna Jones filling in for Kay. And with me is the wonderful Byron Saunders of the BCS Experience. He's back again. This guy never goes away. And Lori Payne, writer, director. I'm throwing producer in there.
Yeah, I'll do it, yeah.
Because
okay.
if you write and direct, you sort of produce.
Kind of have to. Many have.
Right?
Yeah.
And we're sitting in for Kay and Gus. Kay Thompson is with family at this time. As many of you have been listening for the last couple of weeks know, the Honorable Congressman Donald Payne passed away recently. And today there were several events in his honor. And so she's with family. So we're supporting her and filling in for her this week. She'll be back next week to give you a closer look at all the things that are important in Jersey and abroad, the politics, the business, the industry, as she does so wonderfully every week. So hopefully we can sit in. And I thought today what we could do is kind of talk about current events, because that's what the Kay and Gus Show is about.
Hello. We're ready.
Yeah.
Byron's about history.
Yeah.
Lori and me, we're making history.
Right on.
And I think that's a perfect segue into some of the things that are going on. Big, big topics. Coney 2012.
Yes.
I almost hate to talk about it because I sort of feel manipulated into it.
Thank you.
It's everywhere. I mean, what else, you know, can you talk about? And by the way, speaking of talking about things, if folks want to talk to us, they can call 323-679-0906. We're doing sort of a hodgepodge tonight. But I'm sure there'll be relevant stuff for everybody to call into, 323-679-0906. So, Coney, what thoughts? Personally, I feel it's crap. I didn't trust it. And the reason is because it's everywhere.
Thank you.
There's so many relevant things that are nowhere.
Yes.
There's so many relevant things that people never hear about. And this thing is all over the place. I don't trust it.
You know what? I agree with you. On that. Anytime something is just ubiquitous that way, I'm always leery of it. I'm like, okay, this has either been watered down or manipulated to appeal to too many people, so I don't know. And I first heard about it, oddly enough, I saw my daughter, she posted it on Facebook. I'm like, what? What is this? And so then I heard it, and it was very moving, but I just found it to be a little slick, you know, in the presentation.
Of course it's moving. I cry at commercials. You know, once the strings come on.
Yes.
And once you see anybody like that's injured or a mother crying or a baby that's hungry, I mean, yes, it's moving. But as a nation, particularly in the United States, because we are so saturated with media, you know, everything's a commercial. And some of the biggest advice, like if you don't want to bring attention to your issue or cause, you have to make it sexy, you have to make it pop. And, you know, we've got to get beyond the flash. I think we've been so inundated with it that we our brains shut off and we don't analyze what we're looking at. Like, for example, I'm proud to say I don't know who the hell Coney is. And the reason why I don't is because this issue, the way they've presented it, I'm not saying that the people of Uganda have not been suffering at the hands of this guy or other guys like him. But at the same time, it's like, I just heard about this video a week ago and now it's everywhere.
It's gone viral.
And why? Yes. And this guy's been doing this stuff for 20 to 25 years and we are just now hearing about him. That means we deliberately were not hearing about him before. I mean, that's the analytical, you know, take on it.
Absolutely. I mean, at the point at which I saw the video itself, and I'm like, okay, this is very well done. And as I understand, the young man who was the feature and the focus, isn't he already been extricated from Uganda?
Yeah, he's no longer there.
He's no longer there. So at the point at which the focus was to get him out of the country, is not, is still being shown to us as if he was still being trapped there. And that, and like you said, it's a little slick. It's a little too slick. And I know there are the issues that are impacted there with respect to the Civil War that's been ongoing for the last 30, 40 years. It's not something that's automatically brand new. And why is it all of a sudden that we're just learning of this one particular individual when that the atrocities that have been going on there have been ongoing for quite some time? Now, I know that we are limited in our scope of international news, but there's the drum. You and I, we rely on the drum. We have always relied on the drum. And if it had been an issue of such magnanimous importance, we would have been on top of this long time ago.
Of course we would have. I mean, and, you know, this has many, many layers. Okay, so I know the folks who say, you know, you're so critical. There are people, there are good people out there that are just trying to do something and they're trying to get involved. And I commend that energy. But, you know, we need to talk about some other aspects of this. We need to talk about the naivete that sometimes accompanies these kinds of missions. But we're going to do that when we come back from a break. This is Ayanna Jones. You're listening to the Kay and Gus Show, broadcasting on the GoPro Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
All work and no play, that's the way it is, hated. There's a rhythm deep inside of you, and you must get reacquainted. When was the last time you danced? When was the last time you danced? Well, come rock with me, baby. Dance with me, darling. Step with me, sweetheart. The world is watching. Under an endless sky, wish I could fly away forever and ever. And the poetry is so pure when we are on the floor together.
It's been a long time.
When was the last time you danced? When was the last time you danced? Walk with me, baby. Dance with me, darling. Step with me,
and don't deny me, people. Call in. This is the Kay and Gus Show, 323-679-0906. I'm in studio with Byron Saunders and Laurie Payne, and we're talking about current events. Right now we're talking about Coney. But I wanted to just remind you of something. You might like what you're hearing on the GoPro Radio Network. You might maybe want to have your own show. Guess what? It's possible. You can visit www.goproradio.com or call 212-696-8562 to figure out how you can get your own show. We have a really wonderful growing family here, a broad range of topics. We're talking about music. We're talking about history. We're talking about current events, politics. We have a teen show, wonderful teen show, the NRG. New radio generation has a show. So anybody's welcome who has a vision, something to say, and an audience out there that wants to hear them. So just give us a call or visit the website. Again, that's www.goproradio.com. So we were talking about this Coney thing, and for those who are not completely familiar with it, there's a warlord in Uganda that, you know, folks all over the world want to get rid of because he's killing and hurting children and forcing, you know, kidnapping kids and forcing them to join his child army. And he's been doing this for about 25 years, and now there's this, at this point, or maybe so it's being marketed, worldwide efforts to get this guy and find him. There's a counter movement that's been burgeoning, you know, since, that says this guy Coney is not even really relevant. He's off in the, you know, hills of the jungle somewhere. He's not even that much of a threat anymore. We need to be talking about the Ugandan government. That's the real usurper of people's rights and freedom. They're the ones that have been coming in and forcing people to stay in camps and perpetrating violence on the people.
Yeah.
And in bed with multinational corporations. I mean, is Uganda really that unique? The last time I checked, there were so many countries in Africa that are the victims of colonialism.
I don't understand. Why? I mean, the thing is, all of a sudden now there's this urgency. And, you know, on a side note, I don't know, this might sound funny, I really don't like the idea of, you know, white liberal media bringing up another black villain, another villain of color. But that's another thing. If you look down the list of the international, what is that? The international something. It's like a top 10 most wanted list worldwide.
Access they're all
people. Yeah, they're all people of color.
Yes.
So I'm like, okay, really?
America's most wanted.
The Globe's most wanted.
It's still America's
most wanted.
Same thing. Yeah. You know, and there's that angle, but I don't want to say that and it sound like I'm not really paying attention to the atrocities that are going on, because they're there and they must be stopped. But check this out. Anytime you want to get people behind something, for instance, in America, not all white people were for slavery. You know what I'm saying? But they had to be convinced that somehow black people were not the same as them in order for this to keep going. Because if you look at it, it's brutal. It's ridiculous. So they had to manipulate people's minds and really convince them that black people were somehow beasts or lower than them in order for this to happen. And so I feel like this whole media campaign, I don't like to be told what to care about and what to worry about, first of all. But this whole media campaign.
You need to move out of the United States.
Right? Or turn the TV off.
This place is one big commercial.
I threw my TV out 10 years ago. I'm fine. So I feel like this is it's a manipulative thing. A lot of the young people are involved. The next thing you know, they got some troops in Uganda. And now they're trying to get more troops to go into Uganda.
But doesn't this reek of missionaryism?
Oh, Lord, yeah.
I mean, you've got, it's oh my it's God. It's not simply the demonizing of yet another black person. It's also the white savior coming in.
The white man's burden.
To save the day.
We can save you.
And the
how
colonial...
about you stop selling guns to those people who are shooting? You
but,
know,
but
they don't make
get,
no guns.
I want to get back to, because Byron mentioned before the break, he talked about Shell Oil.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Now, I'm not sure where you were going with it, but I think you were making a reference to, I mean, what businesses are profiting off of this conflict over there?
The natural resources that are in Uganda, first and foremost, it's an oil-rich country, all right? And its richness has not been tapped as the other oil cartels of Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, Venezuela. But this is a rich field for which Shell Oil has set up big time and has been there for quite some time. You may recall years ago that they tried to nationalize the oil. Uganda tried to nationalize Shell Oil, and they resisted and ultimately have since then made friends and enemies both on the international and national market, and they probably paid the person who we're going after, which is the usual scenario.
You want to hear?
You know, you give them the money, you give them the guns, yep. Set them up in a dictatorship, and then ultimately, then you bills if you have them in your back pocket, and when they begin to want to take on their own, like Libya and Gaddafi, that's another whole story.
No, but you bring up something interesting, because they just went in and they just bombed Libya. They just killed Gaddafi, right? They went in, they bombed, you know, Iraq. They bombed Afghanistan. They killed Saddam Hussein.
Yes.
I'm wondering if this is tied to, once again, resources, as it seems like so many conflicts around this planet are. I mean, none of them are really about protecting any freedoms or spreading democracy
none,
or whatever.
None,
it is.
None.
This seems to be a different take, though, because now they're saying there's this warlord off to the side. They're not saying, oh, we got to go in and invade Uganda. Don't you find that interesting?
Well, if it's a warlord off to the side, then it's still dealing
with...
Then
it's not a war. No, but yeah. Then it's not a war. And then it's more palatable to people.
Yeah.
Then people will say, oh, well, this is a good thing. This is not another war. This is going after a bad guy. Very, very slick marketing.
Yeah, that's
and ultimately, the bad guy who's really mistreating children. See how it's formatted? And then, of course, when we realize the impact of... the relationships, the international relationships with Uganda, the fact that it is oil rich, the fact that Shell Oil and all the rest of the Fortune 500 corporations, as we speak right now, everybody's trying to blame the high gas prices on an administration that has nothing to do with it. Okay? Remember this. Who was put their whole family's trust in a trust while they took office of President of the United States? And their whole family's trust was oil related. We're talking about the Bush family.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Now, who stands to gain for high prices in oil in this country? Forget the oil, forget Saudi Arabia, forget Venezuela, and of course, we know we vilify Chavez, forget the Kony in Uganda. But who's the family in this country that is gaining because of the high prices at the gasoline tank?
Well, we could easily say Bush, but I think that we need to, again...
And the Koch brothers. And,
I was going to say, in the interest of keeping this as broad as it needs to be, so people understand how vast...
Connect the dots.
I don't want to say the conspiracy is, but just how vast the greed.
The greed.
It's not just the Bush family. It's all these people that invest in the world. It's all these multinational corporations that come into these poor countries. And I don't mean poor in terms of they don't have resources. I mean that are made poor through the rape of their land, the rape of it. I mean, if you just get out of these people's country and let them take care of themselves, they'll be fine. We don't need humanitarian aid. We wouldn't need, you know, programs. We wouldn't need federal funding of various, you know, charity. They wouldn't need donations. Why isn't that same money being put towards making these people self-sustainable? And by that I mean give them back their tools, give them back their land, give them back their resources, leave them alone.
Mind your business.
Let them mind your business and actually go after the real bad guys. Like, I mean, if you're really about saving these folks, why not go after the real bad guys? Why are you inventing bad guys to go after?
You trace where those guns are coming from. You know, where are they coming from? They don't make guns there. You know, there are no gun factories there. They come from someplace. They're sold
in the early 1900s. You know, I'm no history buff. That this is your area, Byron.
Yes.
World War One.
Yes.
1900s.
Yes.
Right? Early 1900s. This country realized that we could make money, and I think it was either right before, or right after the Great Depression. We realized we can make money building tanks and stuff like that for war, right? So this is when industry was here in this country. We were actually making things.
Yeah.
Since then, war's been profitable. So I don't understand why. I mean, it's not even that many dots that you have to connect. War equals profit. So wherever there's conflict, even if it's just going after some again, tiny warlord that's not even relevant.
Well, the warlord there in Uganda is being... supported by the Chinese government. So now you see where we have to play chess on the global chessboard and be in competition with a Chinese government who, along with the Japanese, own a lot of American...
I was going to say, don't we owe them like $11
yes.
billion? Dollars?
Yes, if they called the marker in on us right now, we'd be in big, big trouble. But but we're playing geopolitical chess.
Sure.
And so if they're there, then we've got to be there. So it comes up back to the money issue. It comes back to the resources, the natural resources that are available. And, yes, our dependency on those natural resources. When I don't know if you know, but the largest find of oil in the world sits in the United States in the western part of our country, untapped. Okay.
What are they waiting for?
Because they want to... You know, of course, exploiting our own means that we then don't have control of Mideast affairs. We don't have control of Southeast Asia affairs. But we hold this in abeyance because now we have political affiliations in these areas which are, as we call it, national security.
So are you saying that even the idea of the scarcity of these resources is being manipulated?
Oh, totally. I mean, let's face it. The Ayatollah has a pimple on his butt, and the gas prices go up. Okay.
That was a weird
kind of thing, but you get the sense of it. It's like the scare tactic is, all right, oh my gosh, Iran is about to be what, a nuclear reactor? Come on, people. All right, well, are we really that afraid of Iran getting a nuclear reactor? Okay. I mean, does anybody ever talk about the number of nuclear weapons that Israel has? Never.
Speaking of which.
Okay.
I'm trying to reconcile. Okay, so again, we're talking about
media,
right? We're talking about images and we're talking about PR.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to reconcile this image of the Jews, because, you know, all the time we're seeing movies about the Holocaust, you know, how much they've suffered, how much they've had to endure. And this is dealing specifically with Nazi Germany, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way,
they seem to be like the most bloodthirsty country on the planet right now. I mean, they bomb at them without hesitation. They don't, peace talks, get out of here. You know, they've got this sort of, I don't know, dastardly swagger. You know, we'll bomb them as long as necessary. We're not going to sit down unless they... You know, we're not going to stop unless they sit down and, you know, bow down and submit. Where did all of this...
They want their country.
I think what we have to separate, first and foremost, is separate the religion from the politics.
Mm. Before we do that, we need to separate the show from the break.
There you go. Exactly.
We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to have more talk about... Ooh, we've moved now to Israel and Palestine. I love this organic flow. The K and Gus Show on the GoPro Radio Network. I'm Ayanna Jones. I'm here with Lori Payne and Byron Saunders, and we'll be right back.
I don't know. No.
Pressure at mountain, oh baby, now how we gonna get through?
I don't know.
Can't go left, can't go right. Don't know how we made it through the night.
Come on.
7 minutes to sunrise, oh baby, now what are we gonna do?
It was once said by Black Thought that things fall apart. Knew I shouldn't have been messing with dudes, girl, from the start. But I feel from the heart. The art of it made it interesting. Plus me and Sister Blend before we got intimate. Friend or no friend. My man called when this chick is paying me. It either cost me or cost him. Told her she should have lost him when? A while ago. Just due to drinking pile of more at the Fowler, Joe. I ain't here to start on this. For me, the record's broad. You can tell what I thought of this. Nicknamed Smoke, don't know if that was cause of cigarettes or guns he told. He called shots on the jack, so I wasn't trying to call his bluff. By his persona, you could see he tough. If that wasn't enough, old girl had his son. This is wild like the West. I'm like Jesse on the run.
6 minutes to sunrise, oh baby, now what are we gonna do?
I don't know. No.
Pressure is mounting, oh baby, now how we gonna get through?
I don't know.
Can't go left and can't go right and don't know how we made it through the night. 5 minutes to sunrise, oh baby, now what are we gonna do?
I understand the time is running out. I'm thinking the town, if it got a Chevy, but the alternator be tripping. I'm hitting rum straight, thinking of a route to truncate streets. Watching out this one way, I put myself in this night. This position is high, man. Somebody boning my lady, probably snap like Rob, man. I'm playing with the meat in this bar called the Tiki. Round four, when she was coming, she would beat me. I sat deep in the corner, drinking zombies, becoming one by now. Wondering if my style was the poor her and her child. Out the corner of my eye, saw the stud I recognized. Wanna smoke, guys? Stay out of sight, I tried. Told Jill Scott to meet, we could've picked a better spot. On some nobody supposed to be here, like Deborah Cox. Looked at my watch.
We're back with the K and Gus Show. We were talking off air, me, Byron, and Laurie. I'm so busy getting all heated, I lost my track. When we left off, we were talking about how Israel manages to reconcile this seeming bloodthirstiness with this you know, role that's played. And talking about Jewish people now, and I'm not talking about Jews themselves, but talking about, you know, film industry, they're the ultimate victims. You know, the Holocaust was horrible. We see films about it all year. Channel 13 is constantly airing something about the Holocaust. There's a movie made about the Holocaust once every 2 or 3 years. It's something that is never allowed to disappear into the sunset, even though what we only get to talk about the transatlantic slave trade once a year in February. It might show some special that you've seen 15 million times already. And omitting some of the more heinous facts about it, like the fact that so many more people died in the transatlantic slave trade and then in the slave industry here in the U.S. and, you know, and in South America and on the island.
Right? Yes, yes.
Five times over.
Mm.
And yes. Those people continue to suffer today, haven't received any reparations. So, I mean, I'm not trying to spin it into that area, but I just want to know, how do you reconcile this bloodthirsty activity with this image of the poor victim? I mean, because how could they possibly think they're right?
Go ahead, Laurie.
Honestly, you know what, sister, I'll just say this. When you got money and power, you can say whatever you want, and it doesn't matter who believes what. As long as you retain the money and the power, you can do whatever you want. They're not trying to make it right. They're just doing their thing. That's all.
No, it's not about them trying to make it right. I'm talking about the people who are bearing witness to this. How do you reconcile this in your mind? How do you not question it? Because, look, we can talk about how terrorism is wrong, right? And I think terrorism is wrong. I'm saying this clearly for anybody who's listening, lest they be confused. Killing people is wrong. For any reason, you know, outside of self-defense, but wars of aggression and bombing people because you don't like them, that's wrong, okay? But what Israel is doing right now to the Palestinian people is wrong. And how can we even talk about peace? You know, if they peace talks and people sitting down, what's to talk about?
Okay.
Everybody stop. It's not that difficult. And, you know, because you're not talking just about the general population of people who are emotionally charged, who they have whatever hatred they have. Individuals are going to do whatever individuals are going to do. But these heads of state make it seem like it's so difficult to manipulate people into stopping. You can manipulate people into war. Okay, look how these Coney people are being manipulated to act by the million.
Oh, yeah.
You can't manipulate a few thousand people to stop. You can't figure out a way to stop. That's why I think it's all bull. You know, and so what I'm saying about reconciling, I'm saying analyzing these inconsistencies.
Well, I had said earlier before the break to separate the politics from the religion. And that's where the line is very thin when it comes to expressing disdain for the apartheid that is being practiced by the Zionist government of Israel, not blaming the Jewish faith of Israel. Because at the point at which, and I'll say this for the clarity of it all, I don't believe in anti-Semitism from that point of view in that region. And the reason why is because the tenets of Islam, the tenets of Judaism, and the tenets of Christianity all have the same prophets. So how are you going to be anti-Semite when you're relatives of each other, first and foremost? Now, everything that happened outside of that area, yes, there's probably a disdain for the same disdain for the Jews as it is for the Arab people, as it is for those who are Islamic and Christian all in that same area.
But Byron, I'm not talking about faith at all.
Exactly.
And I understand, but I concur with your point. I understand. But I don't necessarily think it's relevant here because these are political actions. These actions are not based on any, like, for example, I don't think anybody would say Israel's bombing Palestine because they don't like, Israel's bombing Palestine because they don't like Islam.
No, I never say that.
And Palestinian people are, you know, they like to, you know, the media likes to promote that, oh, they think that the U.S., you know, the Western powers, they're all dogs, you know, their faith is bastardized or whatever it is they think. But these people are fighting for their freedom.
But it only comes up when it's reversed. When
exactly.
The Palestinians are saying death to the state of Israel, oh, then it's becoming Islam against Jewish religion.
Right, then it's anti-Semitism.
That's anti-Semitism. But it's
they're the ones who are mixing the faith with the politics.
That's why I say it's a very thin line.
Gotcha.
As it is approached by the Zionist government of Israel. And let's face it, you have to go back to, once again, using the history and the fact of how the state was developed out of the 1948 United Nations resolution that created the state of Israel and separated them from Israel and Palestine. And they have been in this conflict of civil war for centuries. Okay, it exacerbated when the state of Israel became a recognized United Nations state because they took lands from the Palestinians and from the neighbors and created the state of Israel. Now, this internationally, and with the politics of international politics and the Geneva conferences, and we all understand the need for the protection of the state of Israel. There's no argument about that. But when the argument relates to the encroachment of Israel building settlements within the Palestinian territory, and then just putting up a wall and restricting Palestinians from coming in and out of their own backyards, that's a problem. And that's an invasion, actually.
Wait, so say for me again why you feel like there should be some protection for the state of Israel.
Well, only that the United Global Community created it. And they've all acknowledged that it was a needed part of creating it. So they voted on it. And I said, okay, the world voted on it to give Israel a state.
But here's the inception, though, of the injustice. How do a bunch of countries just sit around and vote and decide that they're going to take somebody else's country and give a portion of it to another people?
Well, they've done that. Remember, the Marshall Plan actually did that to Germany. It reduced Germany's territorial conquered states.
On what authority?
On the authority of the Nuremberg and the League of Nations put together and restricted Germany's, and in fact created East Germany and West Germany. Remember, we went through that until the wall was broken down, and all of a sudden
and that was never worked out.
But that was a result of the injustices that they had perpetrated on folks.
Exactly, and then ultimately,
what did Palestine do?
Literally, nothing.
Nothing.
That's
except
my point.
Exist.
That's my point. How do you go into a sovereign nation and done anything to anyone and give pieces of their land to someone else?
And then
demonize them
through
a PR campaign that's been lasting this long, so much so now that everybody's confused. They don't even understand that basically these people's land was taken. So here we go now with the Jewish victims.
Can I just say this? Just kind of bringing this over, because we talked earlier in the conversation about how people's sympathies are manipulated, you know, to further an agenda. And if you look at Hollywood, if you look at the movies and television, how often have you seen the villain is all often like an Arab person or a person from the Middle East, and they're shot and killed, they're shown as violent, stupid, and they're killed
civilized.
Without ceremony. Exactly. You know, smelly. And I think this, and I've watched it growing up, you know, ever since I was a kid, and I never thought about it.
I mean, look at the whole thing. If you go back even further, cowboys and Indians.
It's pandering to a notion of oppression and who the oppressor is and how they manipulate mind control to convince you that the enemy is not themselves, but the persons that you are oppressing.
It literally is whitewashing.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Right
in code speak, yes, it is. Definitely.
You know, even the whole, I don't understand. So as we meander about this conversation, this brings totally, we are taking a walk. I don't understand how Columbus Day became a New York thing.
Oh, it's huge, isn't it?
Well, it's an Italian thing,
yes,
right?
It is.
But it became this New York thing. There's a parade.
Yes, there is.
I don't get it. I get it, but I'm saying I don't get it because it's like,
you know, with enough money and the right PR, you could start your own religion.
It's true. And a product to endorse like Kool-Aid,
right?
Yes.
Not that Jim Jones endorsed Kool-Aid.
No, he didn't.
Well,
right?
He kind of did.
The grape Kool-Aid, at least, yes.
Grape Kool-Aid is the best, by the way, with lemon. So ghetto, oh, but so delicious. Yeah. You know what I'm talking
wrong,
about.
Ain't nothing wrong with ghetto. Not a
you
thing wrong with ghetto.
About.
Yes.
All right, so Coney,
yes.
2012, State of Israel,
yes.
Kool-Aid.
Right, movies.
Movies.
Columbus Day.
Let's talk about music.
All right.
What's big in radio?
Well, segue. Okay. What do you think about the potential sale of WBLS? I mean, we've got it, and really, it comes back home to what we are about here at BW Image and GoPro Radio, because we have a documentary by our producer, Tylon Xavier Washington, a very good documentary that talks about the sustainable parts of Black radio, its history, where it came from, who are the icons. We have Kay and Gus on our show who literally grew up in BLS and LIB, and they are recognized of, what, 50 years of radio together. And then we had Wayne Gilman here a couple weeks ago, the former news director for BLS, and now we're talking about BLS potentially being sold and either protected as a Black independent radio station or absorbed and absorbed by a conglomerate that
I'm
will
gonna, I'm going to tell you exactly what I think of that.
Okay.
Guess when?
After a break.
Oh,
yay!
We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Kay and Gus Show. I'm Ayanna Jones with Laurie Payne and Byron Saunders filling in, and we'll be right back. This is the Kay and Gus Show on the GoPro Radio Network, and we're talking about radio. Byron asked me before the break what I thought about the impending sale of WBLS. Unfortunately, I feel like the first word that comes to mind is inevitable. You know, and the reason why is actually outlined in the film Disappearing Voices, the Decline of Black Radio, which, by the way, I'm very honored to have been able to executive produce and write the narration for. Because what's interesting is that in addition to this film being educational for the folks who see it, it was an education to make with them. You know, I didn't realize as a radio listener what exactly was wrong with Black radio, why it was failing, why it was disappearing, why it was changing from what it once was in our community. And what's happening to WBLS is a symptom of what's wrong. In a nutshell, Black radio, you know, was made poor by design. You know, couldn't get the ad revenue. You've got Madison Avenue conspiring with Arbitron to undersell it. You got people going out of business. Now, from a community standpoint, we don't want our radio stations to go anywhere. I mean, look what happened with WLIB. We lost a lot of good voices there. We lost them because the radio station couldn't function because it couldn't make money. There's two aspects of it. So this isn't about villainizing them like, oh, look, they're selling out. There's a pressure to perform. I mean, you have a business, there's a pressure to make money, sure. I think it's folks giving up, though, you know, in a way, at the same time.
Well, the only...
What are you going to do? I mean, what are you going to do if you've got, you know, such a huge machine working against you? How do you make the money? Because you can have, like, a, you know, a low-powered radio station. As a matter of fact, there's some stuff coming online as a result of legislation that's going to allow people to have... to be able to take advantage of some of the low-power FM, stations on the dial. Mm-hmm. But it's like, what else were they supposed to do?
I think the only redeeming value of this potential sale, as I've read in this story, is that Magic Johnson is one of the elements that is pursuing the purchase of. And if that's the case, then yes, he's building an empire, which is, I guess you have to say, okay, let's see how, where that goes, because he just recently is opening up a television broadband in Atlanta, Georgia. So there will be another network in the making that will put TV One, Oprah, Magic Johnson, and a couple other elements that have begun to use their wealth and their power to bring an entertainment industry that is owned by us. Now, if Magic Johnson's Enterprises is going to be the piece that allows WBLS to stay in our community,
right,
then I say go forward and let's back him and support him. But if he's just going to purchase it and then do like Robert Johnson did with BET, and then just sell it all. You know, I mean, that's not going to be healthy whatsoever.
So that was a question that came to my mind as you were saying that. God bless Magic Johnson. Yeah. You know, he's doing awesome. But, you know, he did buy the movie theaters. You know, he does the movie theater chains. But, you know, what kind of movies are being shown? So you're going to lose, I think, the quality and the specificity of the programming that was originally there. You're going to lose it. But like you said, the power is in his hands. In terms of, even if it does become more mainstream, how much will it speak specifically to the Black community? I mean, if there's no money in that, I mean, if there were money in that or large amounts of money in that, which I actually think there is, you know, but there's more money, even more money in mainstream. So I suppose it's a balance that you should have.
I think there's money in whatever people want to put money in.
Right on.
So we're going full circle, right? Back to this idea of PR and marketing that's rampant in this country. You can make... I don't know why I love references about Black Fox. There's just something about it. But if you threw enough money behind a pair of socks, you could make them. I mean, look how much money was thrown behind the sponge.
Yeah.
SpongeBob is one of the most
franchise.
Guiltily, I admit, I find it to be hilarious.
I love SpongeBob. I'm not mad.
I lose a few friends every time I admit that. SpongeBob. And Byron. Look at Byron. You can't look me in the eye.
That's
but
okay.
I totally agree.
But the same article that indicated that Magic Johnson's Enterprises would be a good fit for this also indicated that were he not a part of the bid process, the station and its broadband would be picked up immediately by anybody.
Well, okay. I guess that kind of says something about the intent of the owner.
Yeah,
I mean, who
exactly.
They want to make sure is in the running.
Exactly. Now, 2 weeks ago, many of you may not know, the Atlanta Daily World was purchased by a conglomerate, Black News Paper, started, owned by the family, the Scott family, J.A. Scott, in Atlanta, Georgia, and made Auburn Avenue like very much the Black Wall Street of Atlanta. Fortunately, it was purchased by a conglomerate out of Detroit that owns other black newspapers, a media conglomerate. But the reality is that we are seeing smaller organizations, and it is about money, folks. Let's be very real about it, because selling newspapers, keeping radio stations alive, all about the advertising dollars. And if you're not bringing in that money, then you're going to be absorbed, or somebody's going to say, engage a hostile takeover, because they know they can purchase it.
You just gave me, okay, so now I feel compelled to plug this film. Folks, if you haven't seen Disappearing Voices, The Decline of Black Radio, you really need to order a copy. It talks about all the things that we discussed this evening. Because a lot of people say, what is Madison Avenue? When people say Madison Avenue, you know, you think Mad Men, that show that's so popular right now. It's the advertising agency. What is Arbitron? Arbitron is the radio entity that's comparable to Nielsen. They rate, you know, how many people are listening to a particular station. What happens when these two entities get together and start rating black radio? You know, now you're getting into racism. Now you're getting into the discounting of not only black radio, but of black listeners, saying, you know what, we don't need to, you know, put ads on these stations because black people, we don't need to try. They're going to spend money anyway. We don't need to try to woo them. We need to go after more quality, you know. So all that stuff is in the film. And if you want to order it, you can go to www.disappearingvoices.com. Very simple. It's the name of the film, disappearingvoices.com. And order a copy today.
And if you
order,
only $20.
It's only $20.
Right.
And you know what? I tell you what. Whoever's listening, if you were listening to the show and you mentioned that you were listening to the show, I'll talk to the folks there, because I kind of have some pull. I know some people at the organization.
Okay. All right.
And I can get them to ship it to you for free.
Right on.
There you go.
But you have to mention that you heard it on the Kay and Gus show, and you also have to promise. I just love this. You also have to promise to listen to the BCS Experience every Wednesday at 7 o'clock.
Woo!
And you have to tune into my show coming up in less than 15 minutes. This is Ayanna Jones.
Right.
And you have to do that. So if you do all those things.
If you don't think you have the power, let me just show you what you did in 2 weeks' time, power-wise. Rush Limbaugh attacked a Georgetown student.
Yeah.
And do you know, in 2 weeks' time, over 150 of his advertisers have pulled out because of the outrage that women have established over his slight and constant attack of women? And yes, Rush makes millions of dollars, but guess what? His paycheck is going to be a little light when you keep pulling out those advertisers. And so you do have the power. Make no mistake about it. That's what power is all about. And when you flex your muscle and use your power wisely, you can make change happen.
Right on. Couldn't say it better.
Well, can I just say this? Speaking of Rush Limbaugh, and I'm so sorry. What we were saying before about the disappearing smaller black radio stations.
Right.
What they provided was a different point of view. When you get purchased by these conglomerates, if you look at this company, you'll see that they're owned by this company. And before you look, I saw this graph, and like all the radio and TV stations are ultimately owned by like maybe three or four companies. It's the same, and they're all handing down the same point of view.
Well, they're focusing on, you know, it's the McDonaldization of a product. We, you know, so something else that's outlined in Disappearing Voices. The star quality, the power of some of the black jocks, the celebrity, to the point where they became more powerful even than the station owners. So when you think about consolidated radio, and you think about people broadcasting the same thing across hundreds of markets across the country, you're talking about control. So what it says is, yeah, you know, our show might not be that fantastic. We don't have the best jock on, but we have a jock we can control. And we own all the outlets. So whether you like it or not, this is who you're going to listen to. And you know about that song that they play 16 million times on the radio that you hate till next thing you know, you love it.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that. don't you hate, because you start singing it and then you start thinking, because then you say, oh, well, you know, everybody else is listening to it. Everybody's playing it. I guess I better jump on the bandwagon. It's psychological manipulation, but manipulation nonetheless.
Yes.
And if that manipulation, it's almost as though it says, you know what, we own the vehicle. It doesn't matter who's driving. It doesn't matter what kind of fuel is in it. We own it, and we can put it everywhere because we also own the mechanism by which to put it everywhere. It's like Big Brother. You'll listen to what we give you to listen to. Then they'll lie and say, well, this is what people say they want to listen to. Everybody knows people want more diversity on the radio. Everybody knows people don't want to hear the same five artists every 5 minutes. But that's what they're going to give you. And they do it because they don't want to start riling you up with any kind of independent thought. They don't want you to get ideas.
Ideas, yes.
They don't want you to get any ideas about thinking outside the box. So this is how they control radio.
Yeah. Well, what's
this is how
really
they control television, how they control newspaper, print, everything.
Yeah. Everything.
But the alternative, guess what? It's GoPro Radio.
Yo.
GoPro Radio.
That's why we're here, folks, because just like tonight, my show, we had calls from Arizona, Atlanta, we had calls from New York, Cleveland, Ohio, and guess what? We got the icons of Black radio that are, that's what the KN Gus show is, folks.
Right. Gus Henningberg. From Positively Black on
That's
NBC.
Right. Kay Thompson.
These are heavyweights. WLIB, Urban Notebook.
That's right. The best. And
we
are here at GoPro Radio.
We are going to actually go to a break. You know what? But do I have to go to a break? I don't want to. I can keep talking? I don't want to go to a break. You guys want to go to a break?
We're following you.
Yeah,
you're my leader.
This is where you're supposed to say, no, we don't want to go to a break. This conversation is so daggone good.
We
got
to go to the wrap. It's the end
we
of
have
the
to
show.
End it.
It's the
you
end
lied
of the
to me.
Minutes.
You bought my hopes up and then you dashed them to bits. All right. Well, listen. I have to tell you, I had such a wonderful time with you. Lori Payne, director,
hey.
Writer. I've just dubbed her producer. I knight the producer as well. Byron Saunders from the BCS Experience. I'm Ayanna Jones. Tune into my show in just a few minutes. This is Ayanna Jones, and you've been listening to the Kay and Gus Show on the GoPro Radio Network. We had a great time. Please continue to listen in, and we will see you next week. Or rather, Kay will see you next week.
That's right.